Feel that you have become a part of our fellowship. God bless you. Amen. At this time, we'll dismiss Children's Church and also dismiss the choir. I am going to say something about our Bible drillers, but I'm going to do that just a little bit later in the message. Take your Bibles. Did you bring your Bible?
Amen.
Amen. I asked you to last week. Let's stand together. You're still trying to remember if I asked you to or not, aren't you? Now, turn to the very last book and the very last page of your Bible. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And beginning with verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy. Lord, I pray that you would anoint my thoughts and my tongue today. And Lord, I know that if it comes from me, it'll just be a zero. But Lord, if it comes from you, it would be what it should be. And Lord, I pray that that happened today. I pray you'd hide me behind the cross. I pray that you'd give me the courage that I would need to preach the truth of this word without apology, without backing down from any part of it. God, I pray for the hearers of the word today. There's probably folks here today, and Lord, you know every heart. You know that if there's folks here today that are ready to make a decision for you, they're ready to give their life to you. God, I pray that you'd open the door for them and that Satan would be bound in such a way that he would not be able to hinder that process. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now you pray for me that I'll be able to stay on course and share what God has for us today. And I really, really want to be able to emphasize in your life the importance of the Bible. And I ask you last week if you would take your Bible to work with you, and you would take it to school with you, And I realize that I stand a little bit in a quandary about it being on your phone. That's okay. But doesn't everybody carry a phone? I mean, most everyone carries a phone. I mean, you could carry a phone and not everybody know that you had your Bible. Is that true? That's true, isn't it? So, I think it's okay for, and I have people look stuff up on their phone for me sometimes. Matter of fact, I looked something up on an iPad this morning. But I think that you need a copy of the Word of God that people will know that you're unashamed of the Word of God and that you need to carry it with you. And I don't think, boys and girls, that you need to put it under your books. I think you need to put it on top of them so that everyone will know that you're carrying a copy of the Word. And if you'll go through the process that Osage Baptist Church has to offer you, you will know the Word inside and out. You will know what is important. You'll know where the major doctrines are found at. You'll be able to lead someone to Christ in the free pardon of sin. You'll be able to take the Word of God and go to a burdened friend and take that Word and show them where they can find peace and comfort for their life. If you'll do what I'm going to tell you to do this morning in this message. I got your attention, so we're going to move on. And by the way, I think the adults would be able to do the very same thing. Now, I want to make a statement that I believe, and I think that our church stands on, and I hope that you stand on. If you do not believe the Bible is God's Word, you are without a foundation in your Christian walk. Did you know that many of our younger adults do not believe that? Statistically, somebody help me spell that later. Thirty-five to 18. In church, a greater percentage believe that the Book of Mormons, the Quran, the Bible, are equal. These are young people in the church. A greater percentage of them believe that those three books are equally spiritual books than those that believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Something has happened in our churches. I'll get to the message here in a little bit. When you young people, we got some boys and some girls that are getting ready to leave for college. They're seniors, and they're getting ready to step out on their own. And men, what's going to happen, young men, what's going to happen is that if you go to a secular university, there's going to be a professor or several professors in those universities that will tell you that believing that the Bible is God's Word is foolishness. To say that Jesus is the only way to heaven is ridiculous. And you're going to be challenged with that not very long after you step on to the campus. And perhaps you've already been challenged with that in high school, where you go to school at. So, if you're going to have a Christian foundation, you're going to have to believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God from cover to cover. That all of it is inspired, that it is God-breathed, that all of it is the truth. It is our book of instructions that we can live the Christian life. It is without error. It is without error. And if you do not believe that, you are on sandy ground. You are on weak ground if you do not believe that. But if you do believe that, you're on the solid rock. Now, you're going to face some trials. You're going to face some situations. You're going to be questioned about that. And the best way that you can answer the questions that come to you is to study the Word of God. Amen. Is to know what it says. It's not a deal, well, I know that the Bible says that somewhere. But to know where the address is, to know the Word of God, where those answers are found at, and to be able to give an answer to those that question your theology. Your salvation is dependent on your belief in the Bible. Can a person be saved? Boy, I'm getting on thin ice here. Can a person be saved and not believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God? Let's look at it. Look with me at 1 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. So how is a person saved? A person is saved because they are born again. Jesus told Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, when Nicodemus met Jesus that night, and he asked him how he could see the kingdom of God, Jesus said, you must be born again. You've got to be born again. Well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, no, you have to be born again spiritually. There has to be a spiritual new birth in your life in order for you to be saved. Friend, you can't be saved because your mama was saved, or your daddy was saved, or your daddy was a preacher, or your folks gave the land to build the church on. The only way that you can be saved is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, where you have been born again and your life has been changed. Amen. That's new birth. And so here in this chapter, in verse 23, being born again not of corruptible seed but of incorruptible, help me out. By the Word of God. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What is it that lives and abides forever? It's the Word of God that lives and abides forever. And we'll talk about it just a little bit later, that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. It's alive. And brother, it can get a hold of you if you'll just open it up and allow it to. Read it. It'll convict you of sin. It'll give you instructions about the direction that you should be going. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Your sanctification, excuse me. Your sanctification depends on the Word. And you say, now, Brother Lanny, that's getting a little bit, I'm not even sure I want to be sanctified. What does that mean? That sounds churchy, doesn't it? Sanctified. Are you sanctified? Well, you think that you're being called some kind of saint that does not sin if you're sanctified? Let me tell you what the word sanctified means. It means that you've been set aside for God's use. Did you know that God had a purpose in you being saved? That He had a purpose in you being born. He has a purpose in you being here right now. And that purpose is to bring glory to His kingdom and glory to His name, to honor Him, to take other people to heaven with you. Friend, what are you doing? What am I doing to take other people to heaven with me? If I write with this pen, I sanctify it. You know why that is? Because I'm putting it to the purpose that it was created for. It's sanctified. And God's Word brings you to a place to put you to the use that you were created for. And you can't know that outside of God's Word. If I use this pen for any other thing, I'm not sanctifying it. But if I use it to write with, I'm sanctifying it. And if you use your body for anything else, you are not being sanctified. If you take alcohol or drugs into your body, you are not sanctifying your body. If you use your body in some kind of an ungodly affair, you are not sanctifying your body. If you're going where God has instructed you not to go, and you're doing what God has instructed you not to do, you are not sanctifying your body. Look at John 17, 17. Now Jesus is praying for the disciples here. And in verse 17, He uses that word. Sanctify. Verse 17. Sanctify. That's the very first word of the verse. Sanctify. Make them holy. Set them aside for your use. Just like the vessels in the temple. Set them aside. Don't allow them to be used for something else, Lord. Sanctify them. Sanctify them. Let them be used for that is going to build the kingdom. Sanctify them. Sanctify them through thy truth. Now hang on. Where's the truth? Thy word is truth, Jesus said. Thy word is truth. And so we're sanctified through this word. You know, I know that this old Bible looks pretty rugged. Do you know why it looks like that? Fell off the car twice. No, I like using it. I can find my place in it most of the time. But it's because that it has been used. And I hope that yours has been used. Now, I don't think I use it as much as I should. I'm trying to give myself a little slack here. But nothing like I should. Nothing like I should. I'm a long ways from being where I need to be in this word. Your usefulness depends on the word of God.